Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's a joy to be with you this morning to share and encourage you all in the pursuit of holiness that God has called every person. At this time, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to speak to our hearts, because change doesn't come from any man. Change comes only from God. And if the Lord doesn't work, no matter how much we work, it is in vain. So at this time, let us invite the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time that you have given to us to meditate on your word, to look into the cross, to find answers for the tragedies that we people are struggling with. We pray that you take control of our entire beings. May we understand what we are speaking. Let not the evil one come and snatch away the word. In the name of Jesus, we break and bind all the works of the enemy in this place. And we pray for the release of the work of the Holy Spirit to come and control and speak to our hearts and minds and transform us and show the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus and manifest the power of your word as we listen to your word. Have mercy on us, O Heavenly Father. Do not put our sins before you, for our sins are great. Who can count our sins and wickedness that we have committed against you? And we pray that you please do look unto us through the eyes of your Son Jesus, through the cross of the Lord Jesus, and we pray for your merciful work in our midst, and break every bondage of sin as we meditate on Romans chapter 6. We pray that you be with us and be glorified in the midst of us. And we don't want to simply be the listeners of your word. We want to be changed by your word. We want to experience the life-transforming power of your word. Come and minister to our hearts. In the name of our beloved Savior, the one who loved us and laid his life for us on the cross, Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer. Amen. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans. It's one of the grand books that we see in the Holy Bible, and let's see what the Lord has for us. What we have seen in the first session is that if there is one greatest gift of God that was given to mankind, and at the same time, that gift is greatly abused, and that gift we all call is sex. And what I want to tell you this morning is that the problem is not with sex, which is God's beautiful gift to us. The problem is with sexual immorality, which man is abusing the gift of God. And we will look into this scripture and see how we can really overcome the sin of sexual immorality that many of us are fighting today. Be it in the world, be it in the church, almost every person today is addicted or occasionally watching porn. And it has become to many people almost an unavoidable, unconquerable sin in their lives. In fact, many people have given up saying that there is no way that I can come out of it. But I say that by the promise that is given in the Holy Scripture, by the declaration of the Word of God, I say that there is victory over every sin in our lives. And that's what we see here. But the sad thing is, a lot of stuff that is available today is mostly about self-help methods or principles or knowledge. Now, what we need to understand is that if porn is the child, what I call is lust is its mother. And one of the ugliest features of lust is porn, which is a form of sexual immorality. And this sin can only be conquered in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and not by self-help methods, which are many, which are prevalent in our day. The true freedom is found only in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not giving a verse-by-verse explanation of Romans 6. I'm just bringing the main things that we see from the book of Romans chapter 6. And the first lesson I would like to bring out from Romans chapter 6 is this. To overcome sin, what the Holy Bible speaks about and what we learn from Romans 6 is that, know that man is enslaved to sin and is under the dominion and condemnation of sin. And this is a fact of every person. Every person, including you and me, the Bible says that he's enslaved to sin and is under the dominion of sin and also is under the condemnation of sin. And this is what we see from Romans chapter 6 verse 6. Romans 6:6 reveals to us that apart from the redemptive power of the Lord Jesus Christ, man is enslaved to sin. That means man is under the power and slavery of sin. And also if you see Romans chapter 6 verse 14, it says that apart from the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, man is under the dominion of sin. Before understanding how to overcome this sin of lust or this sin of porn in our lives, we need to understand that we cannot overcome lust in our lives. Am I making this very clear to you? You cannot conquer sin. You cannot have victory over lust. And the Bible says the reason is because we are slaves to sin. We are under the dominion of sin. We are under the condemnation of sin. We cannot overcome sin in our lives. In fact, after the flood, when the Lord makes covenant with Noah, this is what he said to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. You know what the Lord says? The intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Right from the childhood, every person who is born into this world is evil in his thoughts, is evil in his intentions, is evil in his behavior. And much of what the good behavior that people put on is because of the fear of self-image, fear of what people think. But deep into the heart, if man is left to himself, he will live more than the worst people in this world. He is completely evil, completely wicked, completely unrighteous. And the Bible says that man is evil from his youth. A.W. Tozer beautifully explains on this scripture. Listen to this carefully, how well he describes. Each one of us is born into a tainted world, which means a sinful world. And we learn impurity from our cradles, right from the time we are born. We nurse sin in our mother's milk. We breathe sin in the very air. Our education deepens it. And our experience confirms it, evil, impurities everywhere. And now you see how he concludes. Everything is dirty. Everything about us is dirty. Even our whitest white is dingy gray. Even the whitest white that we put on is actually the darkest gray. Dingy means dark. Darkest gray. It's black about us in the sight of God. And Jeremiah 13:23 even makes it very clear. Jeremiah 13 verse 23. Can an Ethiopian change his skin? Ethiopian is a black African. And it says that, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or maybe God can be so direct, Stephen is not offended. Can Stephen change his skin? Can he change my skin? Can a black person change his skin? The Bible says no. Or can a leopard change its spots? No, you know that. This is impossible. You cannot do that. Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. You know what it says is? You cannot change yourself. You cannot transform your own life. You cannot be saved from sin. Lust is a powerful enslavement. Sin is a powerful enslavement that no man, no woman can change herself or change himself. Just as a black person cannot change the color of his skin, just as the leopard cannot change his spots and become plain, in the same way, a sinner cannot change his life. It is impossible. Man is enslaved to sin. He is under the dominion of sin. And the Bible says that he is also under the condemnation of sin. And that's what we see in Romans chapter 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But the process of sin may be pleasurable. The process of sin is too pleasurable. One reason why we love to commit sin. One reason why we are fascinated by lust. One reason why we watch porn. Those who watch porn is because it gives pleasure. Nobody likes to do something which is not giving pleasure. That's the power of sin. The power of sin is in the pleasure that it gives to sinners. But the process of sin is pleasurable. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I remember what Ravi Zacharias says that. He says that sin gives immediate pleasure, blinding us towards his future destruction. Sin gives immediate pleasure, blinding us towards his future destruction. You know, the early Eskimos are those who live in the snow. And it is said about the Eskimos in the early times, the way they used to kill wolves. What they used to do is, they used to take a blade, a knife, and they will first coat it with the blood of an animal. And then they will leave it to freeze. And after the blood is freezed in this knife, and again they coat another layer. And then another layer. And then another layer. And then another layer. Completely, the knife is frozen with blood. And in the night, what they used to do is, they kept it in the ground. They stick it in the ground with the blade above. So that the wolf will come and lick the frozen blood on the knife. And then in the night, wolves are very smart and they have a sharp nose. And with its sharpening nose, it smells the scent of the blood. And it rushes towards the blade. Not knowing that behind this frozen blood, within this frozen blood, there is knife hidden. And this wolf will vigorously start to lick the blood. And it so vigorously licks that after the frozen blood is over, it doesn't notice that its tongue is cut by the blade and it started to lick his own blood. And by the time it realizes that its tongue is cut and it is badly wounded, it is too late for the wolf. And by the morning, you will find the wolf dead in the snow. That's how the early Eskimos used to kill wolves. And here we find this is what sin does to every one of us. It gives us a bait of pleasure. Come on, Stephen, get this pleasure. Come on, Banu, get this pleasure. Come on, Edward, get this pleasure. Come on, enjoy this pleasure. There is so much of fun in this. There is so much of pleasure in this. Not knowing that there is a blade within this pleasure, ultimately, that cuts your own throat. Do you understand the power of sin? Before overcoming sin, we need to understand, my dear brothers and sisters, how dangerous sin is. And how inclined are we to commit sin in our lives? Charles Spurgeon says, can you make a lion into a vegetarian? We also have, right, a saying that when somebody asks, do you want to have veg? We have a saying, right, we utter this dialogue, can a lion eat the grass? We know that a lion cannot become a vegetarian. Can a sinner become saint? Can a sinner become holy? No way. No way, no way, no way. And I'm here to tell you the bad news. And I'm telling you the truth that you cannot overcome sin in your life. And if you think it is easy, you are fooled. You don't know the power of sin that is ruining the world and ruining many lives. And that's the first thing I want to tell you, that man is enslaved. Shall we all say that man is enslaved to sin? He is under the dominion of sin. And he is under the condemnation of sin. Every person who commits sin have to face eternal death, eternal hell that Alan spoke in the last point. But the second one is the good news that Romans 6 speaks about. The second one is the good news. To overcome sin, know that Christ is the only forgiver of sin and deliverer from it. To overcome sin, we must know that Christ Jesus is the only forgiver of sin and deliverer from it. And I want to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, no self-help methods that are available today in the world will be able to deliver you from the enslavement, from the dominion, from the condemnation of sin. No principles will be able to change your life, no matter how good those principles may be. No knowledge of good and evil will change your life. Most of the people know what is good and evil. Most of the people know the principles. But they know that they are unable to conquer and live a victorious life. Because the problem is, they look to principles, they look to knowledge, they look to self-help methods, they look to preachers, they look to books, they look to here and there, and they think that they will have victory. No way. In the 14th century, it is said that there were two brothers who were rulers, and at the same time, they were enemies of each other. The eldest brother's name was Reynald, and the youngest brother's name was Edward. And there was such a severe conflict between them that one day, the youngest brother Edward conquered Reynald. But the problem with Reynald is that he was a glutton and he was overweight in his body and he was a very fatty guy. That's the problem with him. And when the younger brother Edward conquered and captured him, he did not kill him. You know what he did? This is what he did. He built a room with windows and also the door. And interestingly, he said that if you come out of this room, you will be free from this room. You will get your property. You will get your title of being a ruler, a duke. And also, you will regain your freedom if you just come out of the room. And you know, interestingly, in that room, there are no locks. The doors were open, the windows were open. You can just come out. Any normal person can easily come out. An average person can easily come out of the door and easily come out of the windows. But the problem is, this Reynald was a hefty, big guy. He cannot get through the door. He cannot get through the windows to come out. And what he did is, Edward, every day he sent varieties of delicious food to his brother, so that he would eat and eat and eat. And instead of dieting himself to thin, he became more fatter. And for 10 years, this man lived in that room. And you know, when others question Edward saying that, what are you doing? You are so cruel to a brother. You know what Reynald said? My brother is not a prisoner. He can easily come out whenever he wishes. There are no locks over there. He can come out. But the problem is, Reynald is that he is a slave to gluttony. Although he wants to come out, he could not. He only came out after his brother died, after 10 years. And by the time he came out, he so ruined his health that he died within a year. You know, a lot of self-help methods and principles and the knowledge of good and evil that we hear today are like these open doors. Hey man, you can come through this door. This is a beautiful principle. Hey guy, you can come through this window. It's a beautiful principle. You can easily come out. And man thinks that, wow, it is so powerful principle, powerful knowledge, powerful skill that I never listen. But when he wants to come out, he could not. Because he is fattened in sin. He is a slave to sin. He is under the dominion of sin. And you and I know what it is to desire to come out and yet be enslaved by the power of sin. That's the problem with these present day self-help methods. But listen to what Romans says. Romans chapter 6 verse 10. Romans chapter 6 verse 10, he says, for the death he died to sin once for all. The Bible speaks about Jesus Christ. He died to sin. Why did he die? Because man could not overcome sin. Because man cannot save himself from sin. And because of that, Jesus died to sin. This death to sin should be understood that he died for the penalty of sin, so that man would be redeemed by the bondage of sin. Man would be redeemed from the bondage of sin. And he did that once and for all. 2,000 years back, Jesus came as a man. He lived a righteous life. He fulfilled the law of God. And he went to the cross. taking the curse of man upon himself, taking the wrath of God upon himself, taking the punishment of man upon himself, taking everything that we could not do upon himself, so that he would take our place and die for our sins on the cross, and he died and rose again, though, so that you and I, by believing in him, we would be free from the dominion, enslavement, and the condemnation of sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't it amazing, my dear brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ died for you and me, the filthy, wicked, evil, wretched people deep inside our hearts. For such kind of people, Jesus laid his life. The only hope for you and me to come out of the sin is not self-help methods, is not principles, is not knowledge of good and evil, but Christ, 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 and him crucified. Apart from him, there is no redemption for mankind. And this is what I have written in my notes. Christ had to die on the cross to pay the price for the forgiveness of our sin and deliverance from it. If man could save himself from sin, Christ did not have to die on the cross. Joy, change the clay. Now listen, observe the final part, which is very important. Shall we all read this together? I think it's very important for us to understand. If man could save himself from sin, Christ did not have to die on the cross. The reason he went to the cross is to save us from sin. Are you understanding, my dear brothers? He went to the cross because you cannot conquer sin. He went to the cross because you are under the dominion of sin. He went to the cross because you cannot save yourself from this wretched bondage. He went to the cross because you are under the condemnation of sin. If any person could save himself from sin, it was vain for Christ to die on the cross. The cross should remind us, to all of us, that you cannot save yourself from sin. You need to look to the cross on which Jesus died for the redemption of our sins. The reason why we are failing is not because of lack of knowledge. Listen to this carefully. The reason we are failing, whether we are born again or not, if you are failing to live a victorious life, it is not because of lack of knowledge. It is because of lack of focus and beholding the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and laid his life for us on the cross. That's why we are failing. There is no victory apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what it says beautifully. What a great hope. Although the first phrase is hopelessness, there is full of hope in the latter phrase. In Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Although sin has brought condemnation to us, the Bible says the free gift of God, which we call the grace of God, we don't deserve it, we cannot earn it, it is only the free gift of God given to us only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why it is only in the Lord Jesus? Because he is the only one. By being God, he became a man. And by being a God-man, he died for our sins on the cross, paid the price for every evil that we committed. He is the only one who died for the sin of porn that we watch secretly and cherish, for the sin of lust that we covet before others. For every sin, he died. Every sin, he laid his life. And only in Christ Jesus that man is delivered from the wages of sin. Now this is what I say then. If the wages of sin is death, then the wages of Christ's death is eternal life for those who believe in him. If the wages of sin is death, the wages of Christ's death on the cross is eternal life to those who believe in him. I would like to ask you, my dear brothers and sisters, I believe that yes, being a believer, being a Christian, A Christian can watch porn. A Christian can fall into the slavery of porn. A Christian can be addicted to porn. But yet, there will be a victory for that person. But my conviction is, a lot of people who call themselves Christians, a lot of people who go to church today, a lot of people who utter occasional prayers, a lot of people who have a Christian name, a lot of people who do so-called Christian activities are not really born again. They are not really saved. They are living a nominal Christian life. And I want to ask you today, I don't know who you are, and I don't care what you do. My question to you today is, are you saved by this wages of sin? Have you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you living a nominal Christian life? Are you a Christian for namesake? Are you truly born again? As Jesus said in John chapter 3. Or if you simply have a Christian name, doing all the external Christian activities, but your heart is not touched by the power of the gospel. If that is the case, this afternoon, I invite you to repent of your sins and say that, Lord, I have been a nominal Christian all these years. I have never truly believed in you. I have never truly experienced you. I have never truly experienced the power of redemption in my life. Please forgive my sin. I don't trust myself. I trust completely in what you did for my sins on the cross. Save me, O Lord Jesus. Save me, O Lord Jesus. I cannot save myself. I have no hope in myself. You are the only Savior who can save me. If you cry out to the Lord Jesus, He is able to save us from every sin. And let me tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, there are a lot of people who did this once upon a time. And after they became Christians, they think that that's over. You don't have to do it now. Now you have to wrestle on your feet. Now you have to fight on your strength and you have to overcome this sin. No! You need Jesus every day, even though you are a Christian. You need the cross every day. You need to preach the gospel to yourself every day. Even today, I faced a temptation and I was telling to the Lord, Lord, you died for my sins on the cross and I am dead to sin on the cross and this sin has no power over me. And let me tell you people, what a great freedom it brought to my heart, you know that? And every time we have to do that, Lord Jesus, deliver me. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. For I look unto you, not unto myself. There is one final scripture that I would like to read and go to the last point. John chapter 8, verse 34 and 36. And this is a very powerful statement that the Lord Jesus has made. You know what he said? In 8:34, truly, truly, I say to you, he's saying to you, my dear brothers, he's saying to you, my dear sisters, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. But then you know what he says in verse 36? So if the Son of Man sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. Some people think that to have to come to Jesus, you have to free yourself from sin and then come to Jesus. And then he will accept you. No, that's a lie. You can do nothing to please Jesus Christ in order for him to save you. No. Come just as you are to him and say that, Jesus, here am I, a sinner, condemned, unclean, wretched, have mercy on me and deliver me from this power of sin, from this power of porn in my life. For I have no hope in any books, no hope in any principles, no hope in my strength, no hope in any person. My hope is in you. Jesus, set me free. And Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free. Do you think Jesus is a liar? No way. By no means. Certainly not. Jesus is the truth. And what he speaks is the truth. And he says, my dear brothers and sisters, I am your only deliverer. I am your only deliverer. If I set you free, if the Son sets you free, if Jesus sets you free, you will be free indeed. You cannot free yourself by your own strength, or anyone cannot redeem you from the power of sin. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He is your forgiver and deliverer, and he is your only hope. Do you look to him today and ask that Jesus, have mercy on me and deliver me? Not just when you are born again, but as a Christian every day. Jesus, you are my deliverer. You are my deliverer. And the final thing, yes, we have been enslaved to sin, lived under the dominion of it, and also we're condemned by it. Yes, Jesus died for our sins on the cross. He is our only forgiver and deliverer. But the Lord Jesus also says that, the scripture also says that, once he forgives and delivers, he tells us to do something, which is what my third point is very important. In the next session, Pradeep will elaborate it even more, but I would like to just give some things which are very important. The foundational principles, or foundational, the scriptures, for us to understand, so that Pradeep would later take on. The third one is this: to overcome sin, know your identity and responsibility in Christ. To overcome sin, know your identity and responsibility in Christ. You know, one of the major reasons why people are not overcome this sin of lust, it is either because they are not born again. That's one reason. They have never experienced the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That could be one primary reason. And the other reason is why people are enslaved to lust and not be able to overcome the sin of porn in their lives is because they don't know who they are in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't fulfill their responsibility by knowing their identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important. It's not that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be passive. You will just have a coke and sleep on the sofa and expect Jesus to throw you off from the bondage of sin. No! Jesus is the bold man, and he wants us to become the bold persons. He doesn't want us to be lazy. He doesn't want us to be passive. So he told us that you need to have some kind of responsibility by trusting in him, by believing in him, by looking to the cross. You have to do certain responsibilities. The first one is this, that I bring out from this Romans chapter 6. You know, as I was, these days I started to memorize this Romans chapter 6. And if you look at the book of Romans, and it speaks about how believers, those who believe in him, can live a victorious life. And as he teaches this, now listen carefully. In the first 11 verses that Paul speaks about, Paul began his argument about how believers can live a victorious life. In the first 11 verses, in every verse, Christ is mentioned. Except in verse 7. What does it speak to our hearts? The foundation that Paul lays whenever he speaks about victory over sin, he lays the person Jesus Christ. You know what is the first lesson that I would like to tell you? It is this. Steady. You may say that, oh, I know Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you should know that you will never know Jesus completely, because he is an eternal God. All through your life, and the Bible says, in 2 Peter, the last chapter, the last verse says, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's an eternal pursuit to grow in the knowledge of the infinite Lord Jesus. And it says here that, study and meditate on the person Christ Jesus, especially his suffering on the cross for our sins. You know what is the biggest problem with present day Christianity? You know why they are not able to live a victorious life? Because they look more for blessings. Jesus, you bless me. Jesus, you give me this. Jesus, you give me that. Lord Jesus, you bless me. They focus more on the promises, which is good. They focus more on the commandments, if at all, the second to that. They focus more on the miracles that Jesus performed, or signs and wonders that we see. What many Christians miss is to meditate on the person, Jesus Christ, especially on his suffering, on the cross. Now, let me tell you that. I'm telling you this fact. You find out every person who struggles with every sin, and you will easily find out he doesn't meditate on the person Christ, especially on his suffering. Even when I examine my own life, whenever I fall in sin, And if I want to come out, I do everything. It is, the main reason is, I don't focus on Christ and Him crucified. Even as a pastor, even as a believer of 21 years, let me tell you that. Now listen to this carefully. If I don't look to the cross, if I don't claim what Christ did for me on the cross, for that single day, Stephen is a failure. Every day, one of the things that I have to do for myself is to meditate, to think about what Jesus did for me on the cross. Now listen to these verses. Now listen to these verses, what Paul says over here. Now 6:4, I'm just quickly reading for you to just understand how much it is important for us to grow in the person Christ Jesus. Meditate on Him, read about Him, be absorbed, memorize, and do everything possible to know this person, Jesus Christ, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Scripture. Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. What was Paul focusing? His death on the cross. Observe this. Romans 6:8. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. What was he focusing? Christ Jesus. Romans 6:9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. What was he focusing? Christ and Him crucified. Romans chapter 6:10. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. What was he focusing? Christ and Him crucified. You read Romans chapter 6 carefully, my dear brothers and sisters. The foundation he lays, and based on this foundation, Paul says, now you can live a victorious life. And the foundation he lays is Christ and Him crucified. It's not Christ and Him doing miracles. It's not Christ and Him doing signs and wonders. It's not Christ and Him prospering, blessing, and making you rich. It's not Christ and Him giving you self-esteem. It is Christ and Him crucifying. It is Christ and Him shedding His blood. It is Christ and Him dying on the cross. Because it is on the cross that He paid price for the penalty of sin and also from the freedom of sin. Do you look to the cross every day? Do you meditate on the sufferings of Christ? Lord Jesus, you loved me so much. I say that if you are tempted to watch porn, just watch the Passion of Christ, the last torture of the Lord Jesus on the cross for 5 minutes. Now you'll see whether what power pornography will have over you. Keep the Passion of Christ. I have that 10 minutes kind of video. If you want to take it from me, keep it at your system. Whenever you are tempted, just click it and see how much He suffered for us on the cross. And you will see lust losing its power over you. That's so powerful what Christ did for you and me on the cross. Now listen to this carefully what I'm saying. Freedom comes not by knowing the principles, but the person Jesus Christ. We must continue to behold Him, even after believing in Him. Sin loses its power in the beholding of the Lord's death on the cross. Do you listen to me? Sin loses its power by beholding the Lord's death on the cross. It is so, so powerful. It is so powerful what the Lord did on the cross. So what I want to say is this. Now listen carefully. Your greatest need is not freedom from porn. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Your greatest need is not freedom from porn. If you think that is the greatest need, you are deceived. Your greatest need is not freedom from porn. It's not freedom from lust. You know what's your greatest need? Your greatest need is Jesus Christ. Your greatest need is knowing God. Your greatest need is knowing Christ and Him crucified. Jesus is who you need. It's not freedom from porn. And when you have Jesus as everything, nothing can dominate your life. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have Jesus as everything, nothing can dominate your life. Because there will be no ruler under the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he alone is the Lord of all. He alone is the Lord of all. So that's the first thing. If you want to come out, don't see principle how to come out of phone. Look, meditate, study on the person Jesus Christ. And you will see the power of his holiness in the ugliness of lust. And the second is this. The second is this. Know and believe and decide that you are dead to sin in Christ and are not under the dominion of sin. Now these are very deeper truths, people, that you need to understand to live a sanctified life. Today's church people are so, somebody said that today's church is mile long but an inch deep. It's 1 mile long but an inch deep. Even simple things people cannot understand that. And Romans 6 is so rich that we have to meditate again and again and again in order to understand the beauty of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. And Paul says over here that you should know that you are dead to sin in the death of Christ. Now, how many of you believe that you are dead to sin? Let me tell you that not many people believe it. They think that they are very much alive in sin. We are very much alive in sin. But Paul says that if you want to deal with this sin, you need to understand that you are dead. You are dead. You are dead to sin. Now listen what it says. Now we need to understand here that Christ not only offers forgiveness from sin, but he also delivers us from the power of sin. A lot of people when they look to the cross, a lot of people when they look to the person Christ, they only see that Christ forgives me. But they don't believe, they don't focus that he also delivers you. He forgives not to live in sin, but to live a victorious life over sin. He forgives not to continue to sin, but to continue to overcome sin and walk in the newness of life that he has called us to live. Look into the scriptures. I will quickly go through that. I'm not going to explain because of time constraint, but please read this carefully. Very, very important. At one reading, I don't think so you will understand. So I encourage you to go back. You have the notes. And again, you try to read, study, and meditate on this beautiful freedom passages. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin, observe, how can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? What does it say here? Romans 6, 1 to 3 says, you are dead to sin. You may not feel it. Now listen carefully. You may not feel it, but that's a fact. You may not see it, but that's a fact. Christianity doesn't begin by seeing. It begins by believing. Christianity doesn't begin by feelings or by seeing. It begins by believing. If you do not believe, you have no victory in your life. Romans 6, 6 to 7. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. You know, two times Paul says over here, our old self was crucified with him, and the one who has died has been set free from sin. That's a fact about every person who believes in the Lord Jesus. It is here, not just in heaven, that we are free from the power of sin. I don't know how many of you know the 4th century Saint Augustine. We call him today as Saint. Saint Augustine. We have churches also. Saint Augustine, the 4th century great saint. In fact, the Bible says all are saints, not only some people. Now we need to understand that before Augustine believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was an immoral person. He had an illegitimate relationship, illicit, illegal relationship with another woman, and he also fathered a child through that immoral relationship that he had with that woman. But by the grace of God, the Lord saved this crooked, wicked, immoral person by the power of his grace, whom we call today Saint Augustine. If there was no Christ, today we could have called him wicked Augustine, immoral Augustine. But he became saint because of the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And after he believed in the Lord, after he was transformed by the power of the gospel, one day he was walking in the market and he confronted this woman with whom he slept once upon a time. And this woman, by seeing Augustine, said, "Augustine, it is I." And when Augustine saw her, he started to flee from her. And then she started to run after him and said that, "Augustine, it is I, it is I." And you know what Augustine said? Augustine turned back and said that, "It is no longer I. The old Augustine is dead. I am a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is no longer I. The old Augustine is dead. It is a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ." My dear brothers and sisters, this person understood what it means to be dead to sin, which many believers today are not able to understand, that they are dead, 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 dead to sin. Romans 6:14. Let me read this George Gregory's Mantle's quotation. It is very good. It's beautiful. Listen to this carefully. And if you can understand, try it in one sitting. "There is a great difference between realizing on that cross he was crucified for me, and on that cross I am crucified with him." There is a great difference between these two statements. On that cross he was crucified for me. On that cross I am crucified with him. The one aspect, that is the first aspect, brings deliverance from sin's condemnation, and the other from sin's power. By looking to that Christ died for me on the cross, it brings deliverance from the condemnation of sin. But by looking to the cross, and I'm telling, Stephen is also hanging on the cross on which Jesus died. By looking to the cross and placing yourself on the cross, that I am dead to sin in the death of Christ, in the cross of Christ, you are free from the power of sin. You know why we are not overcoming sin in our lives? It is because we don't consider ourselves dead. Dead. You know what is the lie of the devil? "Hey, don't you know how wicked your heart is? Don't you know how you are tempted? Don't you know what kind of things you are doing? Do you think that you are free from sin?" No, you are a slave in it. You have no freedom from it. That's a lie of the devil. The devil makes you do what you shouldn't do by making you to believe that you are not dead to sin. And the Lord Jesus wants you to believe that you should be believing in order to make you do what you should be doing. We have to believe. We have to believe and decide and know that we are dead to sin. Romans 6:22 also says, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it's an eternal life." Again, see this. "But now you have been set free from sin." You are free. Now you see here in Romans 6:11. I encourage you all to memorize if possible. It's a very beautiful, powerful scripture. Romans 6 verse 11. You know what it says? "For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God." That's verse 10. Now you see verse 11. "So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." Do you see that? By looking to the cross on which Jesus died, Paul says, you also must consider. You know the powerful word, consider. Focus. Believe. Know. Don't see temptation. Don't see sin. Don't see weaknesses in your life. Just believe and know that you are dead to sin, because that's a legal right that Christ had bought for us on the cross. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's a legal right Christ had bought for us on the cross. You will only live in victory when you believe that legal right and take grip of the legal right. And if you don't believe and live by it, you will be enslaved by the power of sin. Now, being dead to sin doesn't mean that you are free from the temptation of sin. That's not what I'm talking about. Being dead to sin doesn't mean that you don't have moral weaknesses. That's not what I'm talking about. Positionally, God has given you that in position that you are dead to sin, and by looking into your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will faithfully fulfill your responsibility. Let me give an example in order for you to understand what I'm trying to say. I know a woman who got married to a man who was brutally sadist. Of course, sadist itself means a brutal guy. He was a sadist guy, physically abusing her, sexually immoral person, all kinds of dirty things, the cruel, wicked guy he was. And she was married to him and suffered for years. She was so innocent, she was so naive, she was not bold, a coward, so she suffered his torture for years and years and years. And then came the time that they were finally divorced. And she took the bold step, there is a huge story behind that. And she got divorced and married to a beautiful young man. And this man was so loving and so caring, and he married to her. And now think about this, the old husband is gone, and the new husband has come. And after marriage also, and after, you know, when she was in relationship, this old husband was trying to threaten her that I will do this to you, I will do that to you. But let me tell you that. Now she is free, she is divorced, she is gone. And she is under the new headship. Does the old husband has any power over this woman? Any power? No power. Can he do anything legally? Physically, he cannot do also, because the person who got married to her is very physically very strong person also. He could do nothing. But can he tempt her? Can he scare her? Yes, he can. But by she believing that, knowing that he is no more my husband, I am under the new headship of my new husband, and I am safe, I am loved, and I am cared, and no harm is done to me. That's how she lives a victorious life. In the same way, legally, we are divorced from sin by believing in the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, and we have new identity in Christ. We are no more sinners, but saints. We are no more slaves of sin, but slaves of righteousness and slaves of God. We are no more children of the devil, but children of the living God. We are legally free. We are dead to sin. You have to believe it and live it out like that. I've tried everything possible, people, in my life. But you know what I finally learned? Nothing works. Now what I learned is this. Even today I was doing that. Christ died for my sin on the cross. I am dead to sin in the death of Christ. This sin has no power over me. And I'm telling you, my dear brothers and sisters, in that focus, in that seriousness, in that declaration, I see great victory and power by knowing who am I in the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we have 10 minutes, and I would like to just say three more points and close. The third one is this. The first thing is study, meditate on the person Christ. Second, know who you are in Christ, that you are dead to sin. Okay, and the third one is this. Live a new life in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Live a new life in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Now listen to carefully. Christ did not command us just to flee from sin. He gives us the power to run away from sin. Are you understanding that? Christ doesn't just command us do this or do that. He gives us the power. Without that power, you and I can do nothing. And this is what Romans 6:4 says. You know what it says here? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, when I read this, I was really fascinated. You know why? The power that we have is no ordinary power. Now, listen carefully what it says. Just as Christ was raised from the dead. How did Christ was raised from the dead? He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father in heaven. By the power of his majesty. That's how he raised from the dead. What does the Bible say? In order that you might walk in the same way. You walk in the newness of life. How do you walk in the newness of life? The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to live a life of victory over sin. Do you imagine what power you have? Many people are interested in the power that raised people from the dead. You know, somebody asked Leonard Ravenhill, have you ever raised people from the dead? He said, never. I preach to them every Sunday. Many people want to raise. Give me power. Power that I may heal the sick. Raise the dead. First, you raise yourself from the deadness of sin. And that power has been given to you and me to walk in the newness of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, even 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things. Do you understand? His power is given to us for all things to live a godly life. Don't you think it's an encouraging thing, my dear brothers? I can live a holy life. You can live a holy life. I can conquer sin. You can conquer sin. You know why? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of which we have been given the divine power. Do you believe that? Do you understand this? Or are our hearts still, you know, many times we are like the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ again and again said to the disciples, but they didn't understand. And he rebuked them at times saying that, why are you so hardened? Don't you still understand? The same question that I would like to ask you. Why are you so hardened in your heart? Don't you still understand the power of resurrection that is available to us to walk in the newness of life? Do you understand that? The fourth one, the last two. Do not give opportunity to sin to reign in your life. Pradeep will speak a lot on that. And I'm just touching it. Do not give opportunity to sin to reign your life. You know what it says in Romans 6:12? Let not sin reign in your mortal body to obey its passions. Do you understand what it says? Let not means what? You are greater than sin. Let not, that means, do not permit sin to reign in your life. Sin is a slave and you are the master. If the slave has to do something, it has to take permission from the master. That's why Paul says that you are greater than sin's power. You need to understand, do not permit sin. Now you see also in verse 13, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness. Do not present. It is in your power not to let sin in your life. It is in your power not to let sin dominate in your life. It is in your power not to present the members of your body as instruments for unrighteousness. It is in your power, and that power is given by the Lord Jesus not to yield to sin but to conquer sin in your life. Now, I'm telling you a very dangerous statement here. Listen to this carefully. Very important. Now, repeat with me. Sin has no power over me. Sin has no power over me. The only power sin has is the power that I give to it. Do you understand that? The only power sin has is the power that you give to it. If you think that pornography is so powerful in your life because you made it powerful in your life. If you think lust is powerful in your life because you made lust powerful in your life. You made it. The devil didn't do it. Don't unnecessarily blame the devil. He is very faithful in his job. What are you doing in your job? Do not let sin reign in your life. What do you do in the battlefield? What is the main role in the battlefield? What is the main role? Once you see the enemy, kill him or else he will kill you. Just a fraction of a second. Once when you see the temptation, kill it or the temptation will kill you. Once you see the sin, kill it or the sin will kill you. Once you see a glance of porn, flee from it. Gouge out your eyes from it. Or else it will grab your whole body into its web.
Do not give opportunity. Do not give opportunity. Do not give opportunity. Be a mighty soldier in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the final one is this. What is the final one? Be active in godly practices. If you say, oh, I don't sin, at the same time you don't do good, the only thing you do is sin. There is no neutral ground in Christian life, either do good or bad. There is no, I don't do good, I don't do bad. Nothing like that. It says in Romans 6:13, do not present yourselves to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instrument of righteousness. What does it say? Do not present your body as instruments of sin, but instrument for righteousness. And even see Romans 6:19. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now, present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You have to be active in good works. You have to be active in godly practices. You need to be active in righteous acts. If you are neutral, you will again be absorbed by sin. It's very, very important to conquer sin. One of the ways is to keep on doing good works so that sin will not find you idle. It is not enough to say no to sin. We must be active in godly practices. I'll just tell this illustration and then I will close. I think you heard about Sadhu Sundar Singh. Sadhu Sundar Singh was a godly man who lived some decades ago. And he did his ministry primarily among the Tibetans in the Himalayas and in the Nepal parts. And one day, he and his companion were walking through a very windy storm, the snowstorm that was coming, in order to go to a place called Rangit. And as they were walking, the wind was so strong that they were freezing to death, literally freezing to death. It was so cold. And as they were walking on the way, hardly trying to survive by themselves and going to the destiny, on the way they found a person half dead. He was so frozen that he was half dead on the way. And then when Sadhu Sundar Singh looked at him and he said that, let's do something, let's pick him up and take him to Rangit with us. And his companion said, are you mad? We are working hard and trying to survive ourselves and you want to take another burden? I don't want to do it. Now wake up, let's just go, forget about him, he's already dying. You want to kill yourself also? But Sadhu Sundar Singh didn't listen. His heart was so moved with the compassion of the Lord Jesus. So he said, you go ahead and I will bring this man. And Sadhu Sundar Singh went and he took the man, dragged the man outside and he placed him on his shoulder and he started to walk. And as he started to walk, Sadhu Sundar Singh didn't realize that he was warming his body because of the weight that he was carrying and he was sweating because of that. And because of his warmness of his body, even the dying person also was getting warm by placing himself on the body. And then after a long time, he could not give up. And finally, he saw the gates and the lights of Rangit far from where he was. And he was so happy. And finally, as he was about to reach, and he saw his companion dead on the way. Because he was so frozen to death that the snow half covered him and he was dead. Sadhu Sundar Singh then realized that in saving that man, he actually saved himself. Brothers, sisters, if you want to save yourself from sin, do something for others. Be active in godly practices. Be active in prayer. Be active in your church. Be active in loving and serving others. Be active in meditation on God's word. Be active in doing good works. Be active in doing something for the Lord. Lord, say the Lord, I don't want to be idle. Use my life and let me live and die for your glory. Be active in godly practices and you will find victory. So what are the three things that I've said from Romans 6? One is, know that man is enslaved, dominated, and condemned by sin. And the second is, know that Christ is the only forgiver of sin and deliverer from it. And the third, know your identity and responsibility in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is it, our knowing of identity and responsibility? Meditate, study on the person Christ, especially His suffering on the cross. What is the second thing? Believe, know, decide that you are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. What is the third one? What is the third one? Live the new life in the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead can raise you from every temptation. And what is the fourth one? Do not give opportunity to sin to reign your life. And what is the final one? Be active in godly practices. Shall we all stand and pray? Heavenly Father, we stand before you. And if anyone is not saved here, I pray this is a time that you open their eyes, that they would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and see Christ, who loved them and laid his life for them on the cross. Please to save them, O Heavenly Father. And those who are saved, believed in you, but are living a defeated life, I believe that you have opened their eyes today to realize who they are in you and what their responsibility in you. Heavenly Father, we need the gospel every day. We need Christ and him crucified every day. We don't never ever go beyond the cross. We live at the foot of the cross. We grow in the foot of the cross. We become like Christ on the cross. We never go beyond it. Pray that you help all my people, including myself, to take these truths and I'll apply it to our lives by beholding the person Christ Jesus. As the psalmist says in Psalm 16, I have kept the Lord always before me. Jesus, you always be before us. Show the wounds of your hands. Show us the suffering of your death on the cross. And show us also the beauty of heaven that you are giving to us. And show us also the ugliness and the deceitfulness of sin and the vanity of the pleasures of this world, so that we would say no to sin and live in the newness of life that you have given to us by your death on the cross. Oh, so many are living defeated life, O Heavenly Father, which is not your will. The devil has cheated them. The devil has made them to believe lies. I pray that you break these chains in the name of Jesus. And you open the eyes of our heart to see how great our God is. And his power is greater than the power of temptation. And that you are glorious. And you are our greatest need. Pray that you continue to reveal yourself unto us. Thank you for this wonderful scripture. Thank you for this life-giving words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.